Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, June 29th, the year of our Lord, 2025. And this is the third Sunday after Pentecost. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast. And I pray that our time together will be a time of reflection, a time of renewal. And we begin each podcast with an exercise in thanksgiving, of breathing and calling out to God, calling to mind the things that bring joy to our hearts and minds. And so let's begin. Let's begin with a big, deep breath. You take in that breath and you hold on to it. It's a gift. And then let it go. And then take in another one. This inhale and exhale. It's a gift from Almighty God. It's life. And as we take in this gift and we let go of this gift, let's call to mind the people and the places, the situations and the opportunities that fill us with joy. Those things that we can only claim as gifts from Almighty God. And as we think of these things, give thanks to God for them. Perhaps turn your face toward the sky, open your arms out wide and say, "Thank you, God, for all that is good, for the gift of my life." In this posture and in this spirit, let's begin together in worship. Once again, we are blessed to have Greta Coyle as our liturgist for the podcast today. She'll be sharing the opening prayer with us. And you can find that opening prayer in the digital bulletin that comes with the podcast if you go to the left margin where you found today's podcast. Just below the line, it says Sermon Notes. You click in there and the digital bulletin will come up for you. And so let's begin.
Join me in the opening prayer. Gracious and mighty God, we come before you this morning with hearts open to your presence. As you called Elijah and passed his mantle to Elisha, we ask that you also pass to us a double portion of your Spirit. Lead us in faith as you led your prophets through uncertainty, through transition, through calling. May this time of worship be filled with your power and purpose. Teach us to follow where you lead and to trust in the strength you provide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's scripture reading is from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 2 and 6 through 14. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." so the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other, and the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elijah said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked for a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water. He said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Where is he?" He struck the water again, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha crossed over.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray, and we give you thanks for this, your good and living word, a divine inheritance, a gift that we receive from the faithful generations that came before us, a gift of your divine word. And so we pray as we take some time to reflect on this story, in your presence in this story. We pray that you will come alongside us, that you'd settle our minds and help us to focus on what it is you're saying to us. We pray that you'd save us from misinterpretation and distraction. And meet us here in this moment. We ask all of this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Inheritance. Ultimately, today's reading from 2 Kings is a story of inheritance and what one does with inheritance. And to look at it from both sides of the thing being given and received. Elijah passing along his mantle to Elisha. Right? He's not just passing along a piece of fabric. No. There is an incredible responsibility that comes along with this inheritance. And you can see it in the stories that lead up to this story. Last week, we considered the story of Elijah out on the mountain, having a conversation with God. Elijah confesses his exhaustion at the work of prophetic ministry, how he has been so faithful and so zealous for the work of God. And it feels to him as if it's all been in vain. But God has provided. God has given Elijah food and drink and rest, led him to this moment, and blessed him in this quiet moment with a sense, a true understanding that it is God who is speaking to him. And with great clarity and efficiency of words, God says, "Go." And so Elijah returns to his work. Part of that work was to pass the mantle on, to name his successor, this prophet Elisha. There is a story, it's a very brief story, of how that takes place. Elijah looks for Elisha. He learns that he's out plowing a field. He approaches Elisha, puts his cloak around him, and there's not many words exchanged. Elisha understands what has happened. They have a conversation, which is essentially Elisha says to Elijah, "Listen, I need to kiss my mom and dad goodbye." Elijah says, "You go and do that, and you think about what I've done to you. Think about the responsibility I just put on your shoulders." And we have this very interesting story. The oxen, the team that Elisha has been using to plow the field, he butchers that team and he cooks it and he gives the meat away to the people in the village. It's a very clear symbol and sign and action that says, "This vocation of mine is over. I will share the last fruits of my time as a plowman. I will give them to my community because I have taken on this new responsibility. And I will follow Elijah. I will learn from Elijah." We don't hear much about the relationship from that point to the moment where we come to today, where here is the senior man, Elijah, prepared to pass along the prophetic ministry and to be received into the presence of God. So let's just line by line this a little bit, and I'll throw in some commentary here and there. "Now the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind. Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel.' But Elisha said, 'As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you.' So they went down to Bethel." And then this moment repeats itself. "Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you.' So the two of them went on." They're not traveling alone. Verse 7, 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at a distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. And then this moment, here's the two by the river and the other in this company of students, of other prophets. But here are just the two of them standing by the river. And in that moment, Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and the other, and the two of them crossed on dry ground. If you've been around the Bible for a bit, that is some familiar imagery. Moses, Joshua. So the two of them cross on dry ground, cross the Jordan. And when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." And then here's Elisha's response. "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." Inheritance at the time, inheritance law, provided a double portion for the oldest family member. So that would be a double portion of the land, of the livestock, whatever earthly possessions were being left to the family. But Elisha's asking for a different kind of inheritance. He's asking for a double share of spirit. And as I pray over this and consider it, knowing the work that is to be done, looking at the legacy that is Elijah's prophetic ministry, Elisha, the dedicated, unwavering disciple, understands that if he is going to be able to live into the legacy of Elijah, he's going to need everything Elijah has and then some. Elijah takes this to heart, he thinks about it, and he gives him a very honest response. He says to Elisha, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken up from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. It's kind of a peculiar passage, that last one, this response that Elisha has, but I read it as an affirmation that he has received what he asked for. That he has seen the ascension of Elijah. And so by way of confession and perhaps thanksgiving, "Father, Father, I see it. I can see with my eyes. I can see the horsemen. I can see the horses of fire." And so what's his response then after those words? He grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. This to me is very reminiscent of his call story. Another moment of one identity being torn to bits. "These are my old clothes. I now bear the clothes and the mantle of Elijah. These are torn. I humble myself to it. I accept it. I tear away the old thing and I put on that which is new." And as the story goes on, he picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water. He said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Where is he?" He struck the water again, and the water was parted to one side and to the other, and Elisha crossed over. What he has seen with his eyes, the ascension of Elijah, now confirmed in the action of God in the parting of the Jordan. And Elisha steps across the river into his new life and his new vocation. It's an incredible story with such rich imagery. And the story itself, just reading it, I think is inspiring, and we could just leave it at that. But what do we do with this kind of a story at the beginning of a summer in 2025? One of the things that strikes me about this story is this notion of inheritance, of the giving and receiving of an inheritance. And to stay true to the story, not an inheritance of property. Right? That's a different kind of inheritance. The dividing up of money or land or whatever it is that we might have accumulated in this life and we passed on. What is being passed on here requires something of both the giver and the receiver. There's a discernment and an intentionality and a faithfulness in Elijah as he knows that Elisha is the one to inherit. And also, there is a knowing, a deep conviction, evidenced throughout the stories of Elisha's receiving this inheritance that point to his worthiness. And God's provision that not only will he receive it, but he will be given the strength to carry it. That's the kind of inheritance I'm thinking about. I mean, this story, I said, shaking the paper, this is an inheritance. The stories of our faith, the stories of the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, and then the New Testament, the covenant of God that is poured out in the blood of Christ, taken in the sacraments. That is an inheritance. That is an inheritance that comes with a responsibility. It's the kind of inheritance that calls us to put our comforts at risk sometimes, to put our reputations at risk sometimes, calls us to do some of the same things that it calls Elisha to do, to put him in conflict with people in positions of authority and power, and to stand for what is true and right, good, worthy, and lovely, no matter what the consequences. That is quite a mantle to carry. But it's the one that we're called to carry. And we are blessed. Like Elisha is blessed, we are blessed with help in the carrying. Elisha is blessed with a double measure of the Spirit. We are blessed by the presence of God through the gift given at Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the life of Father and Son, the love between them put on our shoulders as a double portion of Spirit. Jesus even says, "You will do even greater things." That's our inheritance. It's an incredible thing to think about, and it's so very important. And it's the primary thing for the church to be thinking about, certainly in our church, and I know in a lot of churches like ours. We wonder where the next generation of the faithful will be. Where are the Elishas? To whom can we pass along this inheritance? And then I believe when we perhaps look out at our pews and they're not as full as we'd like them to be, then we need to continue to go out. Perhaps those Elishas are out in a field somewhere or working in a factory somewhere. Perhaps that Elisha looks like an ordinary person on the street, waiting for someone to come alongside and put their cloak over their shoulders. And in that moment, the Spirit of God moves. This mantle that we've been given, that someone placed on our shoulders, or a community gave us as a gift, that began at our baptism was nurtured perhaps by a Sunday school teacher or a parent or grandparent. That if we have a connection to the sacred stories, it's not because our brilliant and keen minds have created it. It is a gift from Almighty God. And that one of the primary responsibilities we have as keepers of the covenant promise, as keepers of the story and the songs and the rites and the rituals and the sacraments, is to give them away, is to place them on the shoulders of others and trust that the Spirit will move in such a way that this will be a priority, that other earthly attachments will be cast away, put aside, be put in their proper place, so that generation upon generation, the keepers of the promise in any given generation can boldly and faithfully, even when the road is exhausting, they can boldly and faithfully say, Christ is King. Christ is King. There is a lot to pray over and to consider in these stories. And as we do the praying, and as we do the reading and the considering, we uncover rich and eternal good news, to which I say, Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God of the prophets, major and minor. God of the unnamed faithful, we come to you. And we humbly seek your presence with us. And we confess. So often we sin and we fall short of your grace and your truth. We exchange that which is eternal for the things that are passing. But you've made us a promise that when we recognize these things in ourselves, that if we come to you and honestly confess them to you, the things of thought, word, and deed that are not in keeping with your desires for us, that if we honestly share these things with you, you forgive us. You extend your grace to us. And you prop us up. And you give us fresh hope. And you set us back on the path. So we claim that promise now. We need it now. And we thank you for it. Thank you for your faithfulness, even when we have been unfaithful. And God, we come to you and we hold before you all of this, your good world. We pray your healing mercies be poured out upon every man, woman, and child, upon all creation. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on it all. We pray for anyone who's losing hope. We pray for anyone who has slipped into despair. For anyone who feels they need to take matters into their own hands. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And you know us, God. You know every detail about us, and you know these prayer lists that we keep. Sometimes they're formal prayers, and sometimes it's a list of things that we're excited about, that we anticipate, things that distract us. And sometimes they are very specific petitions of prayer for people we love or situations that have spun out of our control. So we take a moment to share these things with you. to just stand before you silently with our hands open, trusting that you will read the petitions of our hearts. Meet us in this moment, we pray. We break our silence. We give you thanks, O God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we thank you for the treasures of our faith. Among them is this prayer, a prayer you taught your first students. And we receive it as an inheritance. We pray that you'll hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so in celebration of the mantle that has been placed on each and every one of us, the good news, and the mission that we have to share this good news of our God. The God we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.